You ever be messing with somebody, you know, talking to them, or, you know, even if y'all fucking around, and your friends know about them, but you don't want everybody to know about them, so you give them a nickname, right? So let's talk about him. His name is L.A. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to No Dress Code Podcast. It's Lila B. I'm still waiting on my partner, Crime, to come hop on here and do one of these podcast episodes with me. But as y'all know, life be busy, shit be busy. So, yes, welcome back. Welcome back to this episode. And the title of this episode is L.A. And I know y'all thinking, like, what's L.A.? Like, did she go on a trip to L.A.? You know, but no, y'all, I didn't go on a trip to L.A. L.A. is a nickname that I'm giving this special somebody. So I don't want to say what I call him. But yeah, he got this. I gave him this nickname. So I'm going to let y'all in on Mr. L.A. Okay. Okay, y'all. So I met Mr. L.A. when I was 16. At my first job. No, he did not work at my first job, but he was a customer. my first job, I worked at KFC. Yeah, your girl was in fast food at one point. But what's so crazy is that was the best job I ever fucking had, you know, was working at fast food. Like, all the people there was dope. We vibed. We used to turn up. We used to have fun. And that motherfucker. And for those who listen to this podcast and those who know what went down in the KFC, baby, listen. Some shit went down that wasn't supposed to go down at KFC outside of us working and getting these orders and pushing these orders out. So like I was saying, I met L.A. at my first job. I think I was like 16. Yeah, like I said, I think I was 16. Yeah, I was 16 because I had just started. So it was the summer. And my mama was in the dining area. I think my mama had just dropped me off at work. And Mr. L.A. walked in with some of his niggas. And I think I had just got up to clock in. And so he asked my mom, like, that's your daughter? My mother, like, yeah. He like, how old is she? I'm like, 16, you know. But at the time, like, Mr. L.A. is 5 years older than me. We're going to put that out there. Mr. L.A. is 5 years older than me. So, my mama had told me. But, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. So, I never seen him after that. And then it was, like, maybe, I don't know if it was some weeks or a month had went by. And Mr. L.A. came back in. And when he came back in, I was on lunch break. So, Mr. L.A. sat at the booth, put my food away from me, and was like, what's up? And y'all, I'm like, you know, I'm blushing. I'm young as fuck. What's up, you know? So, I'm trying to remember y'all because, like, 16 was, like, 12 years ago for me. So, I'm still trying to remember everything. But I remember him coming in there and sitting down at the table with me when I was having lunch. And he put my food away, like, what's up? And I remember him and his friends made a bet, like, I bet you $100 she got ugly feet. And I'm like, nigga, my feet is not ugly. They might be a little stinky right now because they're in these work shoes and I'm back here with all this grease and all this madness and my feet probably hot. But my feet not ugly. So they were trying to get me to take my shoes off and show my feet. And I'm like, this is never about to happen. And so he had lost that $100. So I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But somehow or another, we exchanged numbers. And I can't remember exactly when, but Mr. L.A. took me on my first date ever. Like, I still have that movie ticket to this day. And thank me later, y'all. But the date was August 5th, 2007. So I'm like, this is a sign. Like, you know, like me today, thinking today, like, this is a sign. I'm going to go play 8507 in the lottery or 857. So Mr. L.A. took me on my first date. And our first date was to the movies. We had one to go see Bourne Ultimatum. Like, I really didn't care. But I was so nervous, y'all. And I remember I had on, like, pink shirt and these blue jeans. And I had on pink flip-flops. I wanted to make sure my feet was out so that he could see my feet, since him and his friends had made a bet about whether my feet was ugly or not. So, yeah. And I remember I used to get my hair, it was like one side was short, one side long kind of bob situation. But I remember, and that was back in the day when we used to wear like them beaded necklaces. So, y'all, I had on like pink beaded necklaces and like beaded bracelets that was pink and white. So, like, I was literally matching from head to toe. So, we had went to the movies, y'all. But hold on, let me back it up a little bit, because my mother had, you know, she let me go on a date. But let me tell y'all what my mom did. My mama came outside, got his license plates, and asked to see his driver license and take down his driver license name, his first name, all that. Like, my mama was not playing. Like, she came out, I'm like, oh my God, this is not happening. But it was definitely happening. But he took me on my first date, and he brought my ass right back home. And I was like, okay. Because now, mind you, at the time, at 16, I was sexually active. I'm not going to cap. I was a little hot in the ass, but I was good. You know, I was a good girl, low-key hot in the ass. But we went on a date, and the date was cool, and we chilled, and, like, we watched a movie. And he brought me back home. He would not touch me in no way that was sexual at all. And me looking back at it, like, I get it. And then, like I said, I still got that movie ticket to this day. And I put it in my photo album. And then our second date we went on, we had went to B-Dubs. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Ladies, you know how you don't want to eat in front of a dude? You don't want to be licking your fingers, or you don't want to eat all your food? Even if you low-key hungry, like, you don't want to eat all your damn food. So I had ordered some barbecue wings, and I think those wedges with the cheese on it, like loaded wedges, them motherfuckers was good. But I didn't eat all of it, right? I ate probably like three wings. I didn't even want to lick my fingers, and y'all know that sauce be good as fuck, so you be, you know, licking your fingers and all that shit. I did not do that. I had like a wet nap and kept wiping off my fingers. But yeah, our second date was at B-Dubs. And then after that, you know, we stayed in contact, like consistent contact. And then my little sister started talking to his little brother. And I don't even know how, y'all, because it was so long ago. And I wish I remember every single detail of my life back then. Because I really wish I can just turn back the hands of time. Because life was lit. I think I was in 11th grade, y'all. Like, I really miss high school. But those days was dope. But yeah, my little sister started talking to his little brother. So some way or another, I forgot how we figured out where they stayed at. But we started going down there to kick it with them. Hold on, I need to rewind, because I'm having such a fog, right? Because, you know, back in high school, we were still getting on a bus to go to school. And I remember I used to catch the bus to my friend's house. And my sister gonna have to refresh my memory, because I honestly forget how we met his little brother. But we was on a bus and seeing his little brother on a bus. And my sister like, Layla, ain't that L.A. little brother? And he smirked at us. And then him and my sister got to talking. So, was I driving at the time? I can't remember. Because I had paid to get my own driver license, y'all. I was so thirsty to be driving. And LA used to either come up the hill to our house and chill with us. And around this time, y'all, that's when Bed came out. Bed and Energy by Carrie Hilson. Like, that, those songs, like, every time I hear those songs, I think of that moment in my life of meeting him and kicking it with him that summer. And school year started, back to school. My sister was talking to his brother, and we used to go down to his house and kick it. Now, mind you, he would not be there, but I was down there with my sister, because I was the driver, and so I was taking her down there to see her boo. And then I was just hoping I would see LA wouldn't always be at home. Like, I really have to catch him. But when I would chill with him, y'all, like, he would not, he would not touch me. He would not do anything with me. Like, he was legit, like real, you know, respectful. Like, he just, he wouldn't. And I don't know if it, he wanted to see if, you know, he can trust me, or I don't know what the case was, but he wouldn't. Like, we wouldn't do anything. We would just chill and talk. He'd come see me, I'd come see him. And these was the days that, because I think, like, once I turned 17, I used to go spend a night at my friend's house who stayed on the 40. That's what, if anybody who stayed in Cleveland, y'all know what the 40 is called. And not the RTA bus. I used to go down there and kick it with him because he stayed closer down that way. So he would scoop me and we'd just, like, ride and kick it and chill. But Mr. L.A. would never touch me, y'all. We would just talk. We would just chill. We would just laugh. And, like, and it's things that he said to me that I will always remember today. Like, he used to say, like, make your next move your best move. And he will always say, like, a pair of lips will tell you anything. And to this day, that still resonates with me. Like, a pair of lips will tell you anything. And make your next move your best move. So, fast forwarding, me and LA finally fucked. You ever have sex with somebody for the first time and that shit feel like a fucking dream because you can't believe it's actually happening? I was like, how old was I? I was definitely 17 going on 18 when we finally did something, but It was, I remember it was in his room because, like I said, sis used to be down there kicking it with his brother. And then I just go down there. I used to be chilling in this man's room, y'all. Just like seeing if he gonna pop up. And it never crossed my mind until, like, later on in life. Like, what if he would have walked in there with a whole female and I'm in this bitch just chilling, waiting on him? So the time we finally fucked, y'all, I had just left the salon. Just got my hair slayed. My mama just paid for my hair. And we had went down there. And he came there. Now, mind you, he had caught me in his room a couple of times just waiting for him. And we just, you know, chill or whatnot. And we finally fucked. And it was like, it was real, but it didn't feel real. Until the next day, I knew the shit was real because he was blowing my phone up. Like just wanting to talk to me. That's how I knew the shit was real. And so I remember he was like, if I do you a favor, you do me a favor. And I'm like, okay. Because I was, you know, waiting for this moment. That nigga went down and started giving me head. I was like, oh, this is happening. This is really fucking happening. Like, I'm trying to get out of my head and be in the moment. But it was just like, this is finally fucking happening. It's really happening. Lord Jesus. Look, let me gather my thoughts right here, because now I'm reminiscing on that night. Okay, y'all, wait. It's coming back to me. The way we met LA brother, I think LA had came up to our house before and brought some little dudes to come check out my sister and her friends. Like, you know how big bros be trying to put their little brothers on with the girls. That's how we met little bruh. That's what LA called him. He be like, little bruh. They came up to the house. Oh, my goodness. I remember. It's coming back to me. I feel all excited and shit. I'm telling y'all, my life back then, them high school days was fun as fuck. So, yeah, y'all, me and LA finally fucked. And when we start fucking, baby, listen, we was fucking, okay? We had a real good summer. That was a good summer. That was a really good summer. But, like, towards the end of that summer, LA had went to college. And what I mean by college, you know how people tell their kids that such and such went to college because they didn't really want to say where that person was? I was so devastated. Like, my heart was so torn and broken, because within that year, I was catching feelings for him. I was young as fuck, and I wasn't with my first anymore. So, like, I'm experiencing, you know, different things. Thank God I wasn't with him no more. But, he left and I was devastated. And this was, senior year. So he had missed, you know, prom, me going to prom and everything. So I was writing him. I was writing him so much. It was to the point I wanted him to get a letter from me every day because I felt like I didn't want him to miss any part of my life. So, yeah, I would write him every day. He got pictures and everything. And then, like, I went off to college. So it was a transition for me, you know, being a freshman in college at Toledo University and still trying to stay on top of my work there and as well as stay in contact with him. So I remember my freshman year of college, I kind of fell off with the letters and everything, and he knew and he sensed it. And LA used to want me to come visit him, but I couldn't bring myself to come visit him because I didn't know what that would do to me emotionally. And then I'm like, I never had to go visit nobody in that type of situation. I didn't know nothing about that life at all. So, I'm trying to remember for y'all because I know LA had came home, but I can't remember if I seen him when he finally came home. So, me and him kind of lost contact with each other. And, you know, years would go by. Like, I always would think of him, always wanted to know how he was doing, where he was at, because we always been in contact with his little brother, no matter what. No matter if LA was in town or out of town, if we was talking or not really talking, whether I was in a relationship, he was in a relationship, you know, we just living our lives. We always kept in contact with little bruh. And, yeah, I can't remember if he came to see me when he got out, but, LA was gone for like 2 years or was it like a year and a half? But, within that time I had got back with my fucking first, Lord Jesus, why did I say that? But yeah, got back with this nigga. And then I didn't see LA again, y'all, until years later. Years later, because I had just had my daughter, and I swear for the life of me, I used to like always be like, "Where the fuck?" I used to ask little bro, like, "Where the fuck is your brother at? What's your brother been up to?" Because like I said, I will always think of him. So out of all the fucking places, I run into LA outside of my mother's apartment. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And I say that because I was at my mom's house like all the time, every week. And it's like, I run into you now? So when I ran into LA, LA was on crutches. I don't know what the fuck LA had going on. But LA got my hair done. At the time, LA had like a little business with, had a business partner. They had opened up like a hair boutique, and LA had paid for me to get my hair done and everything. He was like, this is the least I can do. And yeah, we probably talked for a little bit after that, and then I lost contact with LA again. And he came over. We talked, I can't remember when. I still don't think my daughter was one yet. And he looked at me like, you grown now. So when I had my daughter, I was 24. Now, mind you, I think the last time LA had seen me, I was probably 18, 19, if I'm not mistaken. So you're right, some years had went by. When he finally seen me, he was like, damn, you grown. And I was like, yes. But we, you know, me and LA have, we didn't do anything. We didn't have sex, we didn't do anything. I seen him, then he disappeared. You know, disappeared again. This is what the fuck LA do. LA come in my life, LA disappear. LA come in my life and disappear. But every time he come in my life, I'm at a different point in life. You know? So yeah, he got my hair done and everything. And did we talk? I can't remember if we, you know, we stayed in contact after that. But I don't know how the fuck I ended up talking to LA again at one point, but I still never seen him. My sister was working at Edible Arrangements, and he was trying to get some fruit or some shit. And then, you know, life goes on. Life goes on. We gonna fast forward this shit to 2019. Present day, okay? Now, mind you, like I said, we always kept in touch with Lil Bruh. So Lil Bruh gave LA my sister number. My sister said, "Hey, I meant to tell you, LA hit me up last week looking for you." And I was like, "Bitch, shut the fuck up. You know how long I've been just like curious about where this man is at, how he doing?" And so I finally got in touch with LA, y'all. Finally got in touch with him. The last time I seen or ever talked to LA was probably in 2015. Fast forward, it's 2019. I get in touch with LA. LA come into town, y'all, about last week. And I seen LA. And when I tell y'all, I was just so in, like, awe and so happy. I couldn't stop smiling. Like, just to see him and see that he was, like, good. It was just, like, a fulfilled feeling. Like, just to think, like, damn, I've been knowing you since I was 16, and today I'm fucking 28. And just to see how both of us have like grown into adults, and here I am, grown as fuck. I ain't that 16-year-old girl he knew. I got a kid now, my kid 5, and we were just talking, catching up, and talking business, you know. And I got to pitch my business to him because, you know, y'all girl is a hustler. Okay. So he was just like, "Who would have ever thought you would be the entrepreneur?" I was like, "Bruh, I didn't think this shit either." Because, like I mentioned in one of the other episodes, y'all, I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. Not at all. God placed this gift in my lap at 25 and said, "I gave you the gift, now take off." And I took off. But y'all, I want LA. I need to show LA what this grown woman, Lila B, is about. Like, this ain't 16-year-old Lila B. This 28-year-old going on 29, grown as fuck, Lila B. But I wanted to come share this with y'all to say this. I believe in signs, and I believe God placed certain people in your life for a reason. Why he has kept Mr. LA in my life this long, I do not know. But I honestly think it's for a good reason. And that's why I mentioned the movie Ticket to y'all. Mr. LA took me on my first date, August 5th, 2007. And I pulled that ticket out and I sent him a picture like, "I still got this fucking ticket." And he like, "Now that's real." The feelings that I felt for this man over the years never changed. He probably the first person I ever said, like, "I love you too," because I sincerely cared about him. Over these years, no matter, like I said, no matter whether he was in my life, out of my life, he was somebody, I'm with somebody. Always genuinely cared about this man. So I look at signs all the time. And I was just like, God kept this man in my life for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. But every time God has brought this man into my life, I've been at different points in life. Like, he met me when I was, you know, young, still wet behind the ears. Then when you came around again and you see me, I was a new mother. And then now you see me as the grown woman, as the mother, as the entrepreneur, as Lila on her shit. Like, that's what you see now. So I remember having a conversation with myself out loud, because I believe in speaking things into existence. And I was just like, I pray I'm put in a position where I don't have to rely on anybody to help me with my daughter, because it's a struggle. And I will say that. I will say that. Please put me in a position to where I don't have to ask nobody to help me with my daughter. I will be financially stable. I will be in a position where I'm good, my daughter good. I don't have to rely on people to help me with my daughter. So in me saying that, I kind of feel like that's why Mr. LA came in my life again. Not saying that he's going to do those things for me, but I believe Mr. LA is going to help put me in a position to where I can be financially stable, and two, where I don't have to keep asking people to help me with my daughter. So I kind of, that's what I'm thinking, like, it's coming full surface like that. And also for me and him to reconnect again on a different level, because Mr. LA is now vegan, and I've been having like this conversation with myself and other people around me how I want to like when he told me he was vegan, I was just like, that is so fucking dope, you know. So I feel like he can help with educating me with making that transition. But it's just always crazy how he just pops up when I'm least expecting it. Like, dead ass, least expecting it. And so now he meet this full-grown Leela, you know, more mature Leela. Not saying that I was ever immature, but I'm way mature. I know what I want out of life. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know, you know, my destination I'm trying to get to. So this is the Leela he's meeting today. And it's just, y'all, it's so crazy. Because I ain't gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna keep it all the way 100 on this podcast. I want to fuck Mr. L.A. Hey, thank you all for listening to this episode this week. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Tell a friend and tell a friend. Tell your mama, your aunt, your uncle to all subscribe to No Dress Code Podcast. Make sure you all send those kiss and tell emails to nodresscodepodcast@gmail.com, as well as your petty caption of the day, because my ass is petty. Again, it's your girl Leela B. Until next time.